This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Public pressure in Asheville successfully resisted an effort from the Republican-led state legislature to change its local elections. Lawmakers passed changes in a bill last year that delayed Asheville's elections, eliminated nonpartisan primaries, and mandated the use of voting districts. Asheville had been using an at-large system in which voters from across the city would weigh in on all open city council seats, and that system yielded the highest African-American representation in city government in decades. David Forbes has been reporting on the story for months and is editor of the Asheville Blade, a progressive online news organization. They join us now from the studios of Blue Ridge Public Radio in Asheville. David, welcome back.
Always a pleasure.
So take us back to the legislation itself, the initial legislation that touched this whole thing off, passed by the North Carolina legislature.
Well, there have been bills since 2016 on to try to do something like this. One in 2017 required Asheville draw its own districts. City Council put that to referendum. Voters overwhelmingly rejected it. But the one in 2018, the one that actually got passed, was interesting in a number of ways because you actually saw some establishment Democrats, notably Senator Terry Van Dyne, team up with the Republicans to redraw local elections and overhaul them with districts drawn by the GOP. That's a pretty rare sight in North Carolina, but that's what led to this whole fight. Was it was passed summer of last year in 2018.
All right, and tell us exactly what that one did, the 2018 law.
So it split right before Asheville had an at-large system, and now it does again due to the gerrymander being reversed. All six city council seats and the mayor had to run citywide. And then you had a however many people ran whatever primary, that would narrow it down to twice the number of seats, six for a council race, two for a mayor race. Then you have a general election, which would decide the winners. And this replaced that with five districts drawn kind of very clearly to split up black voting power, which had been an increasing force citywide. So only one council member would have remained at large if that system had been imposed.
All right. And so this is very consistent with the Republican effort since they have taken office. The courts have found this, the Republican effort to diminish the black vote in the state of North Carolina. And again, reaching into localities to gerrymander city districts. So this is very consistent with a pattern that the Republican legislature has been up to since it started. You talk about this 2018 law. And again, what you say is different here is that Democrats and a progressive, more or less, a progressive city council in some ways, went along with it, whereas city councils in places like Greensboro and Durham, when the legislature tried to do the same thing here, diminish the black vote, they didn't let them get away with it. What happened in Asheville?
So it's important to note that the fight in Asheville takes place in this larger backlash to segregation. We're one of the most segregated cities in North Carolina, and gentrification. We're one of the fastest gentrifying cities in the country. And so you really had seen it in the 2015 and 2017 elections, more pressure about that, issues around policing, housing, kind of these effects on the average person were much more front and center than they've been. And so you kind of saw this status quo in Asheville, which is, you know, this ostensibly progressive government that still pursues some very conservative policies, start to really get shaken up and start to really get some pressure. And I think it's interesting that after the 2017 election especially, where a lot of the kind of progressive, in quote marks, as a lot of locals have been using it, incumbents really had to fight for their political lives, and some of them lost their seats. You really saw that was the point where some of the establishment Democrats, especially in the Senate, went from being against gerrymandering Asheville to suddenly being for it. And what locals, correctly, I believe, have widely interpreted is they still wanted to maintain a lock on power. And when it came down to it, some of them were willing to team up with the far right to do that.
All right, we'll talk more about that. I misspoke. I said Durham and Greensboro. In fact, it was Wake County and Greensboro. Wake County and Greensboro who pushed back. And again, not happening in Asheville. And as you say, there are some local dynamics. We'll talk more about that that may have accounted for it. But I want to take even one step back further because it seems to me somewhat counterintuitive. Ordinarily, we would think of minority voting, if you're a minority of the population in any given area, at-large elections tend to work against you. In other words, the whole community, everybody votes all at once. If you're only a minority, you tend to be overwhelmed in elections like that. District voting tends to favor minority groups because then they can be clustered and at least have some representation. So how comes it that in Asheville, the greater black representation occurs simultaneous with at-large elections? What's going on there?
So in Asheville, geography and history really kind of flipped the script. In the black neighborhoods in Asheville, and there are a number of them, Southside, Burton Street, East End, they're not just clustered in one part of the city. They're split upon in different parts of the city. And part of that was due to the very severe redlining we had in the city starting in the 30s and on. And part of it's due to, you know, kind of the mountainous geography of Asheville. But this has been going back for a long time. And if all those voters think that, as happened the last two elections, think that some candidates and ideas are in their favor and lean towards those candidates, they can swing this citywide election, especially combined with this larger kind of anti-gentrification backlash. And on the other hand, if you split those districts up, you know, this into this district, this into the – it split those neighborhoods up, it diminishes that power. And that was clearly where Asheville's black communities felt about this gerrymander and why both black council members were some of the harshest critics of it.
All right. So we talk about then the pressure builds as, again, Wake County, Greensboro, they fight and successfully fight these
yes.
efforts in those two areas, not happening in Asheville. And citizens are wondering why. They're not hearing much from the city council when they bring the same protest as in those other two areas. Talk about what happened after that when they got the sort of radio silence from the city council.
So this was it was almost bizarre, just as someone who's covered City Hall for 10 years. In these I think everyone kind of expected, or at least a lot of locals expected, okay, you know, we're headed for a legal fight, maybe in a few days, maybe in a few weeks, but fairly quickly. But then after this passed, and this was something at the time that all city council members condemned to one degree or another, that would change later. But all of a sudden there's nothing for months and months and months. And really towards the end of last year, we cover the issue and kind of wonder why this radio silence. And towards the end of last year, you really start to see locals on the grassroots level start to get outraged.
What kind of outrage is it, and how does it manifest itself? How does the city council know things are starting to build?
So it's interesting because you didn't see councilors, even ones who had condemned this, really say much. But starting around January, you saw locals kind of grassroots. There wasn't even a lot of, you know, local nonprofits or anything that pushed this. It was just kind of locals talking amongst themselves, deciding to show up in City Hall. And kind of this political kind of steady drumbeat starts almost every meeting during the open public comment at the end of the meeting. You know, two, three, four locals would come up and say and condemn the gerrymander. Interestingly, the tone has shifted too. Typically, Asheville has this, you know, kind of veneer of civility over some pretty harsh things going on in the city that's been shaken in recent years. Rather than, you know, kind of politely pleading for council to do this, generally the people coming up were pretty angry. They were saying, look, this is ridiculous. You need to fight this. You need to repeal this. And they just keep at it over the ensuing months.
So what happens?
So initially council's silent and doesn't say anything. Eventually, after the pressure continues to mount in the spring, they do start to talk a little more. They claim that it's going to be delayed. Eventually, they start claiming they have a weak legal case, which no one really believes given how the Wake and Greensboro cases went. But then eventually in the summer, the silence really starts to break. You do see some of these council members have been staying silent but oppose the gerrymanders start to speak up. And eventually they have to even schedule a public forum on it. You start to see more locals show up and get angrier from even a wider range of communities. So really it's kind of this steady pressure leading into the fall when they finally officially start the steps to repeal the gerrymander.
All right. Where are we now?
So the gerrymander was finally repealed in late October. That was, you know, it. I've heard more than one person involved kind of compare it to pulling teeth as far as just it was very difficult. But in the end, all but one councilmember, Councilor Vijay Kapoor, who kind of turned coat and shifted position and said that he now favors the GOP gerrymander. When he ran for election 2017, he was against it. The council did eventually vote, but the divides are interesting. Some of the members, including Shanika Smith and Keith Young, both of the black council members, were fairly critical of the gerrymander and want it repealed. Some of the other more centrist council members were much more reluctant to do so. They were warning about the possibility of having to fight the state legislature. But again, it was public anger and public pressure just repeatedly. And interestingly, there wasn't, you know, any particular one leader or anything either. You had some locals show up repeatedly, everyone from a local trans activists, civil rights veterans, to kind of condemn the gerrymander and often tie in other issues around gentrification as well. But there wasn't a single leader. It was an array of voices just pushing this again and again. And eventually, council kind of bows to this pressure.
To understand why it took so much effort in Asheville, whereas in these other places that, you know, maybe may have similar voting patterns, it didn't. Maybe you can put this in the context of some of the other issues facing the city of Asheville to help us understand why it took this city council so long.
So Asheville has a political culture that's really entrenched around this kind of ostensibly progressive status quo. But again, we remain this very segregated city. Things have gotten worse for a lot of people in the last decade, not better. We have some of the highest housing rates in the region. And so, but at the same time, you have a really entrenched status quo in City Hall and among some of the establishment Democratic Party. And give you one example, you know, Durham recently chose to opt out of expanding the police department after some grassroots pressure. Asheville has rapidly expanded the police department. We have the most police per capita of any major city in North Carolina now. There's been a lot of pressure from locals to more for more funds to the transit system or to stop this wave of hotels that have been coming through. And in each case, council is generally just most of council, not all. Tried to ignore that public pressure, but sometimes all of council. And so you've really seen locals get angrier and angrier over this. And also when now it was, okay, well, there's been some pressure through elections. The establishment looks like it's going to change up the rules either through actively cooperating with the Republicans or through just acquiescence. Then people got really, really upset. It felt like there's just the status quo is being upheld at all costs.
David Forbes is the editor of the Asheville Blade. Sorry to interrupt you. It's a progressive online news organization. David Forbes, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure.
There's more of the State of Things just ahead. Stay tuned.